The conversation had been in Russian, and Carla had understood only part of it. Schroeder whispered to Carla to move deeper into the cave and to cover her ears. He reached into his pack and pulled out an object that looked like a small metal pineapple. He knew that his offer would draw the attackers in like jackals, and with any luck, he could take out all of them. He stood up and moved closer to the entrance. He could see shadows moving closer. Good. There was a slight bend in the cave, and the entrance was a narrow slit, so his aim and timing would have to be just right. "Here's your money," he said, and pulled the pin from the hand grenade and tossed it to the entrance. Schroeder threw himself deeper into the cave and around the bend, where he gained the shelter of the wall. He clamped his hands over his ears just as the grenade exploded. There was a flash of light and a burst of white-hot metal as the shrapnel peppered the cave in a deadly fusillade. Then came a secondary roar as the entrance collapsed. The cave was filled with dust. Schroeder lifted his head and crawled toward the sound of coughing. The light flashed on, but the beam was diffused by the brown curtain of dust that hung in the air.
"What happened?"
Carla said after the dust settled. Schroeder groaned and spit out a mouthful of dirt. "Wait." He took the flashlight and made his way to the entrance. He came back after a minute and said, "I did a good job. We can't get out, but they can't get in."
"I don't know about that," Carla said. "The leader of those men said they have a portable jackhammer."
Schroeder considered her comment. "We'll have to go farther into the cave."
"This place could go on underground for miles. We could become hopelessly lost."
"Yes, I know. We will only go as far as we need to set up an ambush. I will try not to be so clumsy next time." Carla wondered if she was talking to the same man who had bounced her on his knee so many years ago. He had cleanly dispatched the man who tried to rape her, calmly negotiated with a band of murderers, and then, in a businesslike fashion, tried to kill the gang.
"All right," she said. "But this secret you mentioned, what do you know about it?"
Carl fished a candle out of his pack, lit the wick, and stuck it into a ledge using melted wax. "I met your grandfather for the first time near the end of World War II. He was a brilliant and courageous man. Many years ago, he came upon a scientific principle that, if used unwisely, could cause great death and destruction. He wrote a paper warning of the possibilities, and the result was not what he expected. The Nazis captured him and forced him to work on a super weapon, using his theories."
"That's incredible. He never gave any hint that he was anything but an inventor and businessman."
"It's true, however. I helped him escape from the lab. He had refused to give up his secrets, and his stubbornness cost him his family."
"Yes, that's right.
He was married and had a child before he moved to the United States after World War II. He took his secret to the grave, but these men, or the ones they work for, think he passed the secret on to you."
"What makes them think I know anything like that?"
"History repeats itself. You published an article on the extinction of the woolly mammoths."
"That's right. I said it was due to climate changes caused by a polar shift. I used some of my grandfather's papers and his calculations to back up my theory." "Dear God, is that what they want?"
"That and more. They will do anything and kill anyone to get it."
"But everything I know is in public view. I don't know anything about any secret."
"Your grandfather told the Nazis the same thing. They didn't believe him either." Suddenly they heard what sounded like a giant woodpecker at the mouth of the cave.
"They're starting drilling," Carla said.
Schroeder gathered up his things. "Time to get moving." He handed Carla a light and suggested she use it sparingly, although he always carried plenty of batteries. Then they followed the cave deeper into the ground.